Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Among charismatic Christians, how have miracles, signs, and wonders, one, taken the place of what historic Christianity would call the sacraments, and two, how have those miracles, signs, and wonders taken the place of Christ among the charismatic Christians? Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, June the 23rd. It's time for This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going to talk about the charismatic lust for miracles, signs, and wonders. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel, Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
When we use this term charismatic, it's kind of a technical term in Christian circles. What does it mean?
So when we talk about the Pentecostal and charismatic movements, oftentimes people refer to them as first and second wave, and then there's a third wave as well. So when we talk about Pentecostalism, we're generally talking about those churches that are coming out of the Azusa Street revival. But second wave would be churches that don't necessarily believe in a second baptism of the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking in tongues. They do believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily that you have to speak in tongues from it. And so you'll see a general break from what are called Pentecostal movements historically, or Pentecostal churches, and then charismatic. And then in our day, Pentecostal and charismatic concepts have actually come kind of blended and merged together. A lot of the historic Pentecostal churches have fallen out of vogue, and everything is kind of morphed coming out of what they call third wave Pentecostalism. So that's really kind of a hybrid of old school Pentecostalism and the second wave charismatic movement.
My parents, for a very short amount of time in the, it would have been the mid-70s, thereabouts, kind of flirted with Pentecostalism. I remember attending some, at the time, kind of the hot spots for the charismatic movement in Dallas, Texas. And I remember the experience going there in the evenings and lots of raised hands, lots of speaking in tongues. If you walked into the average big box church today, perhaps minus the speaking in tongues, although that's not unknown, you'd think you were in a charismatic church.
Yeah, so today's big box churches are heavily influenced by the charismatic movement. And I would note that C. Peter Wagner, the guy who brought us the New Apostolic Reformation, he was the doctoral advisor for Rick Warren. And so there is a close connection, legitimately, between third wave Pentecostalism and charismatic concepts and big box churches. And then one of the primary things that we see happening as far as a change in the leadership within the large big box mega churches is the abandoning of the historic understanding of the pastoral ministry and the replacing of pastors with vision casting leaders. They might still have the title of pastor, but they believe that they are receiving direct revelation from God. And so in the big box churches, you may or may not see speaking in tongues visibly during the big mega church service. Those things will be occurring inside of the small group studies and privately. They absolutely do teach those concepts, but they don't put them on parade as much as the historic Pentecostals did in the past. That's something that they try to keep a little bit under wraps. And as a result of it, many of these churches, that if people saw the full spectrum of their practices, they might think that they were from the lunatic fringe. But because they keep a lot of that stuff kind of under wraps, they just feel and seem like exuberant worship type of churches that believe that they're hearing directly from and feeling God's presence and things like this.
So you mentioned the lunatic fringe. There is a great amount of variety inside what we could broadly call a charismatic movement in Christianity, from just churches where people will occasionally speak in tongues to people rolling around on the floor barking like a dog, or holy laughter, or being drunk in the spirit. Talk about some of those extremes.
So within the Pentecostal and charismatic movements, there's a constant belief that we are just around the corner from the next big outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things they do in their catechesis is they tell people that when the Holy Spirit arrives, that the Holy Spirit oftentimes will show up in ways that people didn't anticipate, and that they should not be offended by the outburst that the Holy Spirit is causing to have happen, and that it would be actually selfish and controlling of them to try to put limits on what the Holy Spirit can do. This is all part of their normal messaging in their catechesis. And so when you have like the Vineyard Revival, the Toronto Vineyard Blessing, and then you've got the Pensacola Revival, and you have the Lakeland Revival, these are some of the more recent types of revivals that Pentecostals would point to and say are legit. It's then that you see these like really over the top manifestations of the Holy Spirit, where people are shaking uncontrollably, like you said, you know, rolling around on the floor, sometimes barking like dogs, acting like they're drunk in the spirit and things like this. But that's not part of the normal experience within a charismatic movement. Those are things that are kind of like high watermarks in general for special occasions when they claim that the Holy Spirit is showing up with manifest signs and wonders.
We're going to be hearing from Paul Keith Davis. Who is he, and what should we know before we hear what he has to say?
So Paul Keith Davis is now one of the elder statesmen within the greater kind of charismatic NAR as well as Pentecostal movements. He's the founder and leader of White Dove Ministries, and he's an itinerant preacher. And so he oftentimes gets invited to kind of like high-level churches and will do pulpit supply for their pastors when they're on vacation and things like this. Or they'll bring him in specifically to talk about his kind of pet topic that he likes to talk about, and that is demonstrations of the Holy Spirit and as with evidence of God's power through miracles, signs, and wonders. That seems to be his standard stump speech. And so we're going to be listening to a part of a recent sermon that he delivered at Brian Guerin's church called Awaken to the Dimensions of the Kingdom. That's what we're going to be listening to today.
I have so much to share this morning. I'm just going to jump in. Is that okay? I could maybe tell you a few stories or something, you know, to kind of get the motor running, but I'm going to just jump in because I feel like the Lord has something very specific that he wants to do. So I'm going to pray and just invite the Lord to come. Wouldn't that be wonderful if he just decided to show up big time today? Oh, I'm waiting for that day. I've seen it prophetically. I've had visions where I've seen where the Lord comes in these corporate meetings in a glory realm. I've seen it. I'm waiting for the day. And every time I get up, in fact, over there, I was praying, Lord, it'd be great if you just chose today to do it. This is a great group of people. Just come in your glory and surround us and overshadow us like you did that early church, and empower us to do great things, to love you with all of our hearts, to lay aside every weight and encumbrance and everything that would stand in the way. I feel the anointing already. I can already feel something. I felt this little ping in my spirit just now. And I'm like, if I could go be alone right now, I'd weep. But I'm not going to do it in front of you. I'm from Alabama. But I believe the Lord is going to do something great. The Lord is coming. You know, even as I'm talking, it's almost as if I can see this imagery in my own heart. You know, John, don't you want to see what John saw? How many of you like that? You read something in the Bible, you say, I want to see that. That's right. You were born for this hour. And I said, Lord, I want to see what John saw. I want to be caught up, as it were, in the Spirit on the Lord's day and look over into that dimension of the unseen realm. Goodness. And I want to see the Lord standing there with eyes like flames of fire. With his face shining like the brightness of the sun at noonday. Can't you just see it right now in your heart? And his hair as white as wool like snow, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His voice was the sound of many waters, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet with a golden sash across his chest. and his feet were like burnished bronze. He had seven stars in his right hand. You know what John did? He fell to the ground like a dead man. Ah.
So explain some of that to us, if you would.
Sure. So in order to understand what is happening here, this is actually the beginning portion of the sermon that he delivered at Paul Guerin's church. And in confessional Lutheranism, we talk oftentimes about what's called a Christ-centered hermeneutic. And that is that Christ is the center and substance of the scripture. And we preach law and gospel with a Christocentric approach to unpacking and unwinding the scriptures. But what happens in charismatic, Pentecostal, and New Apostolic Reformation churches is that they do not have a Christ-centered approach to reading the scriptures. Instead, they have a miracle-centric approach to reading the scriptures. And that's where their focus goes to. And what oftentimes happens is you hear them say that the miracles in the Bible are the norm that we should be expecting in Christianity. And the reason they'll give that why churches don't have that miraculous norm of signs and wonders and the presence of the Holy Spirit where you can feel it tangibly or feel an anointing in the air and stuff like this is they'll say that that dead rote religious orthodoxy and its ritualism has driven away the Holy Spirit, and those are dead churches that have offended God, and therefore the Holy Spirit says, I don't want to have anything to do with them. And whereas they will basically say that when we read the scriptures, we should desire to see these things. And in the soundbite we just heard, he legitimately asked, don't you want to see what John saw? And everyone was like, yeah, I want to see what John saw. But the point that he's making is not a valid way of approaching a right handling of the biblical text. It is absolutely true that there are miracles in Scripture, and there are apocalyptic visions of heaven given in the Scripture. However, those things are rare, and they serve a function in the revealing of God's will and the revealing of what God is intending to do in the future, as well as miracles serve a function of validating that God is the one who sent the person who performed the miracles. Most notably, you think of Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John, it says very clearly that Jesus performed many other miracles that are not recorded in the gospel. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you might have life in his name. Whereas in the charismatic and Pentecostal churches, they see these miracles and I don't know how else to describe it. They are legitimately lusting after these things as if somehow that desire that they have to see these things, to perform these miracles, to seek these types of signs and wonders is the reason why they're written in the scripture, when in fact that has nothing to do at all with why those things are written. And I would note that when John the apostle saw the glorified Christ, he fell down as a dead man, and it was something that absolutely terrified him and shook him. And Daniel had a similar experience. People, when they come in contact with the glorified Christ, it's generally not an experience that they say, that was the coolest rush of the Spirit I've ever felt in my life. Instead, it's something that terrifies them greatly. And so things are very backwards and upside down within the charismatic movement because they don't recognize that Christ is the center and substance of Scripture. Instead, they think that what we see within the miracle passages of Scripture, which are actually rare, that somehow is a norm that we should be ascribing to and striving for within our churches.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about the charismatic lust for miracles, signs, and wonders. We will answer the question, why the lust, next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in our adventure in Acts with Moses Part 2, Moses Part 3, Tabernacle versus Temple, Stephen's Martyrdom and Prayer, and Philip Preaches in Samaria. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
You and your youth group are invited to the 2023 Higher Things Youth Conference, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas, from July 25th through the 28th. Come hear pastors Brian Wolfmuller and Chris Roseborough teach the youth of our church about doubt and apologetics, and give them the assurance that their faith is beyond reasonable doubt. Remaining space is limited. Register now and find more information at higherthings.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Calvary Lutheran, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania; Faith Lutheran, Vista, California; Hope Lutheran, Highland, Illinois; Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dubuque, Iowa; Redeemer Lutheran, Benbrook, Texas; St. Athanasius Lutheran, Fairfax, Virginia; St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa; Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas; and Zion Lutheran, Columbus, Ohio. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Following Jesus' command, do not disbelieve, but believe, Thomas confessed, "My Lord and my God." The call of Jesus out of unbelief into faith changed Thomas. From that point, his eyes having seen the crucified and risen Lord, his lips having spoken the beautiful mystery of faith in the God who died and rose, Thomas was transformed from a coward to a confessor. That's from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, called Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. It's written by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Take Courage, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about charismatic lust for miracles, signs, and wonders. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. So, Chris, why the focus on miracles?
There's going to be several reasons, and one of the primary reasons is going to be that they legitimately believe that demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit through signs and miracles and wonders is a necessary component of evangelism. Otherwise, people won't believe in Jesus. And so they believe that the demonstration of these miraculous signs and wonders is a core component of going out and preaching the gospel, because they believe that without it, you're preaching what they call a powerless gospel. That's one reason for it. Another reason, and you'll hear this in the second soundbite, is that within the charismatic and the NAR movements, there has been for a long time, decades now, and it's starting to amp up again, a focus on what some people will call the Joshua generation or Joel's army, and this belief that as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, that there is going to be a generation of charismatics who are going to be able to operate in signs and wonders so naturally, so fluently, so easily, that they will be indistinguishable from Christ in their ability to perform these things, and that generation of charismatics, they will not die, They will perform these signs and wonders, and as a result of it, bring in a billion souls, harvest, things of this nature. So there's twisting of scripture as it relates to these things to kind of create the expectation in the younger generation or the present generation that they're going to be part of this super special generation that is going to be able to operate like this. And so what we're going to hear from Paul Keith Davis in soundbite number two is him kind of reinforcing that messaging, this belief that they're part of a special generation.
This dimension of the living God, when he renders a verdict in favor of the saints and the saints take possession of the kingdom, the right generation that's on the earth, when he decides to answer all the prayers of all the saints and pick one generation to manifest himself, to do everything through them that he promised that he would do. That's you and I. There's a passage of scripture in Revelation chapter 8, at the time of the breaking of the seventh seal. I know this is deep stuff, but the seventh seal is broken. That's the end of the age. The seventh seal is the crescendo. It's the finale. It's the outpouring. It's the harvest. It is the manifestation of the mature sons of God. It is the perfecting of the bride of Christ. It is the bringing in of the lost, the healing of the sick. It is God demonstrating his glory one final time, you know, to prove to the world that he is the resurrection and the life. At the time of the breaking of that seventh seal, the Bible tells us that there is an angel that goes and collects all the prayers of all the saints, going back to Enoch. You know why? Because Enoch was this prophet. He was a patriarch, but he was a prophet, and he walked with God. The Bible tells us that. Can you imagine? He walked with God and obtained the testimony that he was pleasing to God. And as a result of that, the Lord said, you know what? I got a loophole for you. Everybody else has to die, but not you. I'm going to use you as an example of what I'm going to do at the end of the age down there when there's a body of people that aren't going to have to die. They're going to live until the Lord returns. I'm going to take you up to heaven and I'm going to change you. But here's what he did. He said, now let me show you something, Enoch. Now just... this is the way the Lord teaches me. He puts his arm around Enoch and he says, now look down there. Look through this telescope in time. I got a generation down there in about the 21st century. I want you to look and see what I'm going to do with him. And he prophesied about it, right?
So what was he saying?
So you'll note that we have additions to scripture here. Most notable is this information as it relates to God putting his arm around Enoch and basically saying that there's this generation in the 21st century that's coming, and they're going to be like you. Apparently, Enoch was a type and shadow of this generation that will exist in the immediate term before Christ returns. And you'll note that that generation, with the breaking of the seventh seal, they are perfected. They will not die until Christ returns. They are legitimately the one that God pointed Enoch to and said that they're going to be doing these things, and they're going to operate in signs and wonders for the purpose of proving that Jesus is the Christ to the world, and doing so in a very conclusive and indisputable manner. That's how the prophecy goes regarding the Joshua generation, or Joel's army, as it's often talked about in their sermons.
They've been talking about this for a long time. And yes, it seems as though sooner or later, all these prophetic utterances on parts of charismatic preachers like this would start to manifest itself. We'd start seeing something.
Yeah, that's one of the things that that kind of got my attention, you know, as to this whole thing seems like it's not really working out as they promise. when I was in the Pentecostal, I was actually in the Latter Rain movement. When I was in that, I was being told about, you know, Joel's army and on this generation that's going to be able to manifest, and it's just around the corner. And along with it was a prophecy that you hear a lot of times in these types of churches, is the prophecy regarding the great wealth transfer that's supposed to be taking place. You know, they legitimately believe that there's going to be this thing that happens to unbelievers where they're going to show up at the doors of Christians and basically write checks and empty out their bank accounts, and there's going to be a big wealth transfer from the pagan world to the Christian world. It's unexplainable as to why that's going to happen, but they look at the book of Exodus and how that went down as the children of Israel were getting ready to leave Egypt, and they say that that's actually a type and shadow of what's going to be happening to the Joshua generation, the generation right before the return of Christ, where this generation perfects itself and is a perfect bride for Christ and all this kind of stuff. So you'll note that it's not merely this lust and desire for miracles. They've constructed an entire theology and an entire prophetic structure that gives the reasoning why they need to be able to do these things. And it has something to do with the eschaton, but despite all their efforts at saying it's just around the corner, you'll note that our speaker, he's legitimately saying, so Paul Keith Davis is saying that it's this generation in the 21st century, and he himself hopes that he's part of it. He thinks that he might personally be on the cusp of it. But again, coming back to this idea then, this miracle-centric approach to scriptures oftentimes then will lead to a very narcissistic reading of the biblical texts. So in putting all of the pieces together then, you can see that this approach to the scriptures then has the person completely focused in on themselves and asking the question, am I part of this Joshua generation? Am I part of this generation of people who's going to be operating in these signs and wonders immediately before the return of Christ? And you'll note then in soundbite 3, he's legitimately going to say that the prophets prophesied about that particular generation that's going to be before the immediate return of Christ.
Then Abraham, you know, he looked through that same telescope and he saw this generation, and David prophesied about this generation, and Isaiah prophesied about it, and Ezekiel prophesied, and Zechariah spoke about the end of the age generation. And they all prayed towards what they saw. Do you understand that? They saw something, and I'm sure they were like you and I, Lord, let it be me. Let it be my, even Daniel, remember? Daniel had these amazing revelations, and you know, and Gabriel says, well, here's the good news and the bad news, Daniel, you know, the Lord's gonna do something really awesome down there, but you're not gonna live to see it. You're gonna die and go be with your fathers, but you'll be raised up at the end of the age, and you'll have your part down there somewhere and somehow, some way. And so all these people prayed and prayed and prayed for that prophetic fulfillment. It even says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, all these great champions that gave themselves, they lived sacrificially. They lived in holes in the ground, caves. They were drawn and quartered. They were burned at the stake. They were persecuted. They had their property stolen. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11, but it says all of them desired that same promise. Though they died, they became a part of the cloud of witnesses waiting for you and I to inherit that promise so that they're made perfect. Is that right? That's in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. If you want to put that up, it's not in my notes here, but that's free. He says they obtained, the Bible says they obtained the testimony that they were pleasing to God. They obtained a testimony. They achieved a certain place in God. And though they did, they saw the promise prophetically, yet did not live to see the fulfillment. But they're waiting for that right generation to be on the earth. That's you and I, friends. That's you and I. That is the truth.
So were the Old Testament saints described there in the book of Hebrews that he's referencing looking forward to this generation of Christians? Were they looking forward in faith toward this alleged generation of super Christians?
No, that's not even close. Hebrews 11:13, all these, talking about the patriarchs, They died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. The text, when you read Hebrews in context, isn't talking about the patriarchs of the past looking forward to this last generation before the return of Christ. And you'll note that he took a general promise that is applicable to all Christians, that we are made right before God, that we are perfected not for our sake or for the sake of our works and our merits, but we are perfected in God's sight for the sake of Christ. We, by faith, receive the imputed, perfect, sinless righteousness of Christ. Our sin was imputed to Jesus on the cross. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. But by faith, then, we are clothed then with the righteousness of Christ. So he's taken this general promise that it applies to all Christians by grace through faith, and he's misapplied it in a very narrow sense to somehow being applied only to this last generation before Christ returns. And he's twisted up the scriptures. You'll note that he quoted them from memory, but his memory seems a little bit spotty. And the two verses in particular that he was referencing, Hebrews 11:39, and all these, all the saints who'd gone before us, who died in the faith, though commended through their faith, they did not receive what was promised, since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And so he took that text and made it sound like that God was going to perfect the last generation, and that that was what the hope of all of the saints and patriarchs of the Old Testament, that they were all looking forward to, was the perfection of that last generation, because then they would be perfected along with us. But that, as Dr. Rosenblatt used to say, that's putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable altogether, and is lost track of the actual reference that Hebrews 11 is pointing to in this text, which has nothing to do with this final generation that are able to operate in signs, miracles, and wonders. It's mind-boggling what we're listening to, because it's such an egregious twisting of scripture. And yet, as we've been listening to this, you'll note the people there listening to the sermon, they were basically shouting in agreement and applauding the concepts that he was teaching.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, the charismatic lust for signs and wonders. On the other side, this teaching takes their eyes off of Christ and directs them right to themselves. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdCruesome.com. That's ADC. RUCEM.com.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. We're talking about the charismatic lust for miracle signs and wonders. So, Chris, based on what you were saying before the break, this teaching really just takes their eyes off of Christ entirely and directs them right back to themselves.
Yes, completely on themselves. We are the special generation. We are the generation that's going to be perfected. We're the ones that the prophets were pointing to. And the reality is this, is that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The prophets were prophesying of Christ. And even in relation to Jesus's return, the emphasis of all of the eschatological prophecies is on Christ's activity when he returns in glory to judge the living and the dead. And instead of that being their emphasis, the emphasis is supposedly on this final generation. And I would note that Jesus warns us in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 that in the last days that there would be false Christs and false prophets who would be able to perform signs and wonders so as, if possible, to mislead even the elect. And so, you know, there's a part of me that's really kind of cynical at this point, wondering if what these people are really legitimately doing is catechizing people into the signs and into types of signs and wonders that are not really powered by God the Holy Spirit, but by the demonic that Christ prophesied would be present in the near term before his return. And these people, I can't think of a group more prepared to perform false signs and wonders by the power of Satan to deceive people than these people, because they're already doing that through their false signs and their false wonders. It's really terrifying when you consider the implications.
What should we be listening for in our fourth and final cut from Paul Keith Davis?
Now we're getting towards the end of his sermon, and what good would it be if all he did was leave them with words? And so he's going to engage in the practice of releasing and imparting gifts and anointings and things like this to the people there at that church.
Lord, just send the hosts of heaven in here this morning. Whatever this realm is that's moving around the room, I just ask that you send them. We welcome them, right, Brian? We welcome the hosts of heaven. We welcome the hosts of heaven, the angelic hosts, the assignments that are being given. I believe there's a number of you that are being assigned angels for intercession. I believe you're interceding. This is unusual for me to pray, but there is something being released to a people right now, an assignment, and you're going to go behind the veil to do your praying. You're going to go into the Spirit to begin to intercede with the heart of the Father. There is an anointing being released right now. Some of you are being assigned. This young lady right here in the blue sweater, you just looked at yourself. Yeah, there's something going on with you. I've just noticed it several times. I keep being drawn right there. There is an assignment, I believe, that's coming to you. This lady back here in the blonde hair, there's something going on with you and these assignments. Several people right over here, there's some activity going on. So I just know without a shadow of a doubt that there is an assignment going on right now from the realm of the Spirit. There's a big guy right here, the kind of a weightlifting sort of guy. You're my kind of guy. There's something going on with you. I feel like there's some dreams and some revelations the Lord is affirming for you right now. It's almost like you've been saying, is that really going to be me? Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. The Lord has got his hand on your life. You might say, well, I've messed up. So is everybody else. There's something going on with you right now, sir. This shift, this transition in the new, a new realm of faith is being given to you to believe, to really believe. Absolutely. I'm going to stand like a statue for God. I'm not going to be moved. that unwavering faith is being released right now, an uncompromising faith, an uncompromising, unyielding spirit that's going to say, I'm going to make my stand and I'm not moving. Oh, I feel that. I felt that when I said, I'm going to make my stand and I'm not yielding. Isn't that right, Mama? You know that's right. Yeah, I do know you know. I do know you know. Absolutely, I do. I can see it on you.
So what was happening there? What were we hearing?
Basically, flimflam. I don't know how else to describe this. These are completely empty and worthless words. And you'll note the vagaries that he was operating in. I remember a couple years ago, we tortured you by having coming on Fighting for the Faith and playing Prophecy Bingo with us. And you'll note that a lot of the words that show up on our Prophecy Bingo cards showed up here. Shifting, something, there's a realm, God's giving assignments and anointings, and he's releasing things and stuff and stuff. And these are completely empty words. And you'll note that what they have done here is they have abandoned, they have left behind the sound words of Scripture. And by believing that this man is hearing directly from God, they are receiving messages that have no bearing whatsoever on a proper understanding of what God has revealed in Scripture. This man is blaspheming, and he's breaking the second commandment and taking God's name in vain by blaming God for being the source of these nonsensical and completely empty words. But this is a necessary component now of many of the churches that are in the charismatic movement and the NAR. This necessary demonstration that the prophet hears directly from God and him calling out people. And notice he doesn't call them by name. Apparently God the Holy Spirit doesn't know their names or hasn't revealed that to him. You over there who looks like you go to the gym, you know, and you'll note that this is just absolutely sad. And the other part that I think is just terrifying is hearing the people in the audience there, some of them cackling with a really, really creepy kind of weird, almost, I hate to say it, but demonic sounding kind of cackle. And the people there believe that they're tapping into God the Holy Spirit, when in reality, this has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, and the spirits that they're tapping into are not holy.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. The Charismatic Lust for Miracles, Signs, and Wonders is our topic. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Happy 84th birthday to the Coast Guard Auxiliary, established on June 23rd, 1939. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports all Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplains who serve in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, active duty, the Reserves, National Guard, and Civil Air Patrol. Find out about their work at lcms.org/armed forces, serving those who serve, lcms.org/armed forces. When we come back, there are spirits at work here, and he used the word demonic. We'll explore that a little bit more. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Is your child struggling at school? Are you thinking about homeschooling? Would you like help knowing what to teach and how to teach it? The Simply Classical curriculum from Memoria Press provides an enriching, step-by-step classical Christian education for students who have autism, learning or behavioral difficulties, ADHD, and more. You'll find everything you need, including daily lesson plans to guide your way. Learn more at simplyclassical.com. Use LPR23 to save on your order. Simplyclassical.com.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas, to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at augsburglutheranchurch.org.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about the charismatic lust for miracles, signs, and wonders. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, before the break, you had mentioned the demonic. You know, I heard them invoking angels, and there are evil angels that you don't want to have anything to do with. There are spirits at work here, and I'm wondering if it's not, as you said, demonic.
Absolutely. And you'll note that as confessional Lutherans, I think Luther was really correct when he noted that when people claim that the Spirit is coming to us apart from the Word and apart from the sacraments, that that's not the Holy Spirit that is in operation. And Scripture specifically warns that in the last days before the return of Christ, that people would be following deceiving spirits and that they would forsake the truth for doctrines of demons. And I cannot think of a more demonic type of doctrine than the doctrine that teaches that I am the center of Scripture, that the generation that I am a part of, that the prophets prophesied about me, because then the focus is on me rather than on Christ. So, I mean, everything we heard here from this unhealthy lust for and desire for the signs, miracles, and wonders to the false doctrine that there's going to be this generation right before the return of Christ, and then this belief that I'm part of that generation, and that now I've got a prophet who can release assignments and anointings and usher in realms of the Spirit and disseminate dreams of revelations and shiftings and things. I can't think of any doctrines that are more demonic than this, because the person who is lost in the midst of all of this is Jesus. And he is the only one who can save us, and the Scriptures are about him. The Apostle Paul made it very clear. He says to the church in Corinth, I chose to know nothing among you except for Christ and him crucified. Jesus himself rebukes the Jews of his days, and he says, you diligently search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, yet they are the very Scriptures that testify about me, and you refuse to come to me that you might have life. For all their talk of believing in Jesus, Jesus has at best a tertiary role in their theology. Me, the believer, the person living in this generation, I'm at the top of the heap, and the Holy Spirit is there to help me to achieve that top of the heapness. And Christ, he's got third place in their theology at best.
It is a false hope. We've talked about this a lot. If you mix the vagueness of his promises with this always anticipating but never receiving, whether it's a final generation or a new realm or God is going to do a new thing, which is not unique to the charismatic movement, by the way, but it's all setting people's hopes on something that is about to happen, the next big thing, and aiming them directly away from what Christ already has done.
That is correct. And so it's like a carrot on a stick held in front of a horse. Just another block and you're going to get that carrot. And that poor horse is, you know, doing everything he can to get that carrot, and he's still no closer to getting it than when he began. I would note that Luther, oftentimes, one of the things he talked about is how when we attend the divine service, the things that we need, God, Christ puts them in the bag. It's a fun way of talking about it, but the thing I need is never held up as a carrot that's on a stick. What do I need? I need the forgiveness of my sins. I need the body and blood of Christ. I need his word. And so when I come to church every Sunday, even though I'm the pastor, I confess my sins along with the congregation, that I am sinful and unclean, that I've sinned against God in thought, word, deed, by what I've done and by what I've left undone. And I also get to hear the absolution spoken to me, that my sins are forgiven, that I have received full pardon from Christ. I then get to hear God's word, an Old Testament text, an epistle text, and a gospel. And I get to hear what Christ has done for me, and God's word rightly divided, law and gospel, sin and grace, repentance, and the forgiveness of sins. And then, as if that wasn't enough, then every Sunday also, then I receive the gift of Christ's body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of my sins in the Lord's Supper. And then I always hear at the end the words of the benediction, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Biblical Christianity, you can't leave church empty-handed. Instead, you leave church with a full bag of God's grace, his mercy, his pardon, his forgiveness, and life, and the very things that you need to sustain you in your sojournings for the upcoming week. And you come back into church the following week with an empty bag and you get it filled up. Whereas these folks, they show up week after week and they get empty platitudes, empty promises. Their breakthrough is just around the corner. This Joshua generation, this Joel's army, it's just around the corner. And they never have the ability to grab onto the things that are promised because these are false promises. Whereas biblical Christianity never leaves you empty-handed or leaves you in expectation of something that's just around the corner. Instead, you come to church and you receive these great gifts of Christ week after week. They are in the bag for you as you are walking out of the congregation.
We spoke earlier about the influence that the charismatic movement has had on broader evangelicalism, and it's easy to point to the feelings orientation or the raising of hands, all those kind of things, those externals. But it sounds like the biggest influence the charismatic movement has had is in that realm of false hope, that what's being preached in that big box church is very little different. They may not be talking about a generation doing miracles, but it's still the same false hope. God's about to do something in your life. God will do something in your life in the future. And again, drawing the focus away from what God has done.
Yeah, isn't that the same sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden? I think of what Luther wrote in the Small Called Articles, how the devil turned our first parents into enthusiasts. They were listening to, trying to find the voice of God within themselves. And so there's the serpent tempting Eve and basically saying, oh, just eat of this tree and you're going to be like God, knowing good, and you're going to be just like God. And so what does she do? She's in total charismatic enthusiasm. She goes straight at the feelings. Well, the tree, it is beautiful and desirous to make one wise. And so she's just completely going off of feelings. She's a true enthusiast. And all the promises that were being made to her by the serpent turned out to be empty, hollow promises. And worse than that, because by eating, she and Adam both brought the curse upon themselves and us. And so Satan still uses that same carrot stick idea, making all of these promises that are completely empty and hollow and getting people to follow along. And the reason why they follow along is because they're not listening to the voice of God in the scriptures. They're looking for the voice of God inside of their hearts. And that's the last place you should be looking for it. The first place and only place you should be listening for the word of God is in the Bible, in the scriptures. That's the only place that we can trust that God is speaking.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. For more information on Fighting for the Faith, visit the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
We will discuss the necessity of fathers with Delano Squires of the Heritage Foundation right after the break.
Lutheran Talk.
The cause of our salvation doesn't lie within us, but instead it lies outside of us, namely in the mercy of our God who sends his Son to live and die and rise again for us.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
We preach Christ crucified. That's the theme of the 68th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that's gathering this summer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Christ crucified is the sum and content, the substance of everything we preach and proclaim. At convention, delegates will gather to worship, hear God's word, and discuss the business of synod. To learn more about the upcoming convention, pick up a copy of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.